are. It's not just what we say. It's not just
programs and activities. It's finding ways. It is being Bethel, dispersed into the world God calls us into. We've looked at different ways that Bethel helps and how we help one another. And we now are here where we recognize that Bethel isn't limited in its helping. I think so many times, if we're not careful, we begin to think that Bethel is just local. We're just here. This is just what we do. I hope that by the time we get to the end of the message today, you'll realize that Bethel, us, you and me, church, we help everywhere. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's what God empowers us to accomplish. So, if you have your Bibles, let me encourage you to open them and turn with me to Luke chapter 9, starting with the very first verse. It'll come up on the screen, but it's always best if you have your sword with you, if you have your Bible with you, and that you open it up and you follow along. I'll be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible, but any version will do. They are pretty close to one another in this particular passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. We begin. Summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the road, he told them. No staff, no traveling bag, no bread, no money. Don't take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. If they do not welcome you when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. When we hear these verses, we most often focus on the evangelism component. If we're not careful, when we sing songs like Share His Love and the first verse, hopefully that's going to clear up toward the end of the message. The very first verse talks about taking the good news everywhere. We zero in, because we're Southern Baptists. It's what we do. We zero in on the concept, on the reality, on the need for evangelism. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not the only thing. Because if you listen to the rest of the verses, you find that we share His love by being Christ to people, by doing, one might say, by helping them to see the reality of the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so when we read these verses, if we're not careful, we focus just on the evangelism component. But I hope that you heard the other component of Jesus' instruction to his followers and the result of then their going in obedience to him. The scripture says in verse 1, summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God, evangelize, and to heal the sick. It was a both and, not an either or. Then in verse 6, Luke says, so they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. Wherever they went, wherever their feet touched, God empowered them to bring healing. Now, healing of hearts, healing of diseases, healing of all kinds. That was the signs and wonders that God had chosen to use in Jesus' life and in the disciples' life to communicate to the people God was doing something. Is there truth for us here in 2,000 years later? So what God wants us to be about? Now please don't hear me say that I think that we're supposed to walk around telling people the good news and then saying, be healed, or knocking them over or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Please hear me. That's not. What I am saying is that there is more to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ than just giving them four laws and saying, are you ready to pray yet? when we're talking about being Bethel, we're talking about people who show the love of Jesus by what we do, how we do it, what our attitude is, and what the words are that go along with our actions. I believe that Bethel is never meant to just be a people sent on evangelistic forays out into the world, whether we call them visitation nights or evangelism explosion or faith ministry or whatever. All those are good, but that's not all we're called to do. We are also called to be a people who bring healing, a people who bring help wherever we go. And let's talk about that. We help everywhere when we go. One of the struggles that all of us have, and I mean this, all of us have, is that we have a mindset we're not even aware of. It's called near and far. Near. That's the places and people that you know. You know, the Jewel, the Kroger, the Walmart. Don't tell me you've never been to Walmart. We're relatively comfortable. We complain about it. We whine about it. It's too crowded. You know, they never have what we want in stock. The prices are too high. But we're comfortable there. One of the worst things that can happen to a person who shops for groceries on a regular basis is for some bright-eyed young guy in a national office somewhere decides that they need to rearrange where everything is in the shop. Right? All of a sudden, something that's supposed to feel near to us feels far. It feels like it's other. It's not normal. I like normal. I like for things that are near me, that are around me, to be normal. Sometimes it's not just, you know, grocery stores and places we shop. It's work. I like for work to be normal, you know. I like to have my job. I like to do my job. I like to know what my job is supposed to be, and I like to be able to do it. And then they come along, and somebody changes it. But as long as it's near, it's comfortable. We get to know people. School is that way. As long as you're not going from elementary school to middle school or middle school to high school, you begin to feel like you belong in that place and you know the rules and you know your way around, and it begins to feel like a near place to you. For some of you who are parents, as your kids get involved in sports teams and you get involved working with them, some of you are even brave enough to, you know, coach or assistant coach along the way, and you get to know the kids and you get to know their families and you sit in the bleachers with them and you scream and you know which parents to sit farther away from than other parents, and all those things that you begin to know and feel and understand, those are all near things, comfortable things. They are the places you go. And if we go back to the Great Commission, we hear those words and we say, "Go ye therefore." But the syntax in the Greek could just as easily be translated, "As you are going therefore." Where are the near places that you go? That you're comfortable, that you've begun to know some people there. What are you doing? What am I doing to help? Well, I'm doing my job. That's good. That is a foundational starting point. I've talked with some of you who are here in this room and others that are maybe hopefully listening on the internet who are away from us today, but I've talked with some of you, and I know how important it is for you to do your work and to do it faithfully and to be on time and to do it excellently so that nobody can talk negatively about you, so that if God opens up an opportunity for you to share Jesus, they can't use that as a way of discounting your testimony. That's how it ought to be. That's foundational. But we also need to recognize that we help wherever we go, when we go. We go intentionally to these near places as well as just automatically. But Jesus didn't tell us just to go to Jerusalem. He didn't tell us just to go to the near places. He also told us to go to the far places. Now, whenever we hear the word far, most of the time we think of places far away, and some of them are. But the far places are the places and the people that you don't know yet. They feel far. For some of you, Chicago is far. For some of you, Kankakee is far. You don't want to go there either. For some of you, going to a new mall or going to Orland, or going to Tinley, or going someplace relatively close, but it's not what you're used to. It's far. It's too far away. But are we responsible for the people who are far, just like we're responsible for the people who are near? And the answer is yes. I look at something like, or someone like Bob Dyer, who is, in the beginning of August, going to be going on another one of his trips to Slovakia. Not just because it's a fun trip and he's going for a vacation. No, Bob's going to be working. I've been there. I know how this works. You get up early. You go out. You work with people who do not speak the same language as you half the time. And you're trying to teach them something. You're trying to work alongside them. He's going to be doing sports camps. I don't know about you, but when I think of sports camps, I don't normally think of Bob Dyer, you know? Seems like we ought to be sending Kyle over there instead of Bob Dyer. But the reality is that Bob's going because he has decided that he wants to go far. That's just one example. But you know, there's also you. The times that you go far, maybe when you have to talk to people who are not like you. For some of you, that would mean talking to farmers, because the last thing in the world you'd ever do is, you know, put your hand in a piece of in the ground intentionally, you know. Maybe talking to people who are suburbanites, because that's not how you see yourself. And they think differently and they talk differently and they just move faster than the rest of us. Or, God forbid, we have to talk to somebody who's actually from the city. You know, like a real city, like Chicago. And have a completely different mindset. They don't even own a car. How do you live in this world and you don't own a car? When a parking place costs as much as your house. There are times when we who are Bethel need to recognize that we are not off the hook for helping people who are not like us. We're going to have our day of serving, and it is going to be local. It's going to be those folks that are around us. But some of us may be surprised as we come into contact with people, as we do our service project, who are not like us, and yet they live in our area. One of the most remarkable things, you may not be aware of this, and this is extra, you don't have to pay any more for this, but the International Mission Board, I still call it the Foreign Mission Board because I'm that old. But the International Mission Board has now worked out a relationship with the North American Mission Board, because the North American Mission Board is having to deal with so many people who speak so many different languages. They need training and help from the people who are going to other places all across the world, who are learning how to speak those languages and are doing that kind of work. They need the same kind of training as they go into areas where the only language really is spoken, that's spoken, is Haitian. The only language that's spoken is Korean. The only language that's spoken is Spanish. And they're all through our country. Some of the largest communities of Hmong from the Southeast Asia area are in the north Central States. The people that we come in contact with who are not like us, they feel like they're far. And if we're not careful, we feel like we're not responsible for them. That's somebody else's job for whom it's not far. Scripture doesn't give us that option. It says if we're going to be Bethel, if we're going to be Jesus' church, we go and we are a part of, as we are going to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So how do we do that? Well, one way is like Bob is doing it. I don't know if you're aware, but our church has a mission scholarship fund set aside specifically to help. It doesn't pay the whole way, but it helps anybody who wants to go on a mission trip that is sponsored through our Southern Baptist Convention or is attached in some way through missionaries of our Southern Baptist Convention. Anywhere in the world that you might want to go, that God's called you to go, and you want to come alongside someone who is serving there, you want to help. Our church has other mechanisms and vehicles for connecting you with people. If there's a place that you sense that God is calling you to be a part of, that we can connect you up with it and make it possible for you to go and help anywhere, everywhere. And every Sunday, we help everywhere whenever we give. I don't know if you realize just how significant your giving is in our helping the world. We call it the cooperative program. You hear us talk about it, and every time that the deacon comes up and he makes a statement about where our mission dollars are going and what missionary we're focusing on this week, we call it the missionary moment right before the offering. The cooperative program is something that we as a church have decided that 10% of everything we bring in that's not designated for some other special fund, everything we bring in is going to go to what we call the cooperative program. In other words, our church tithes. It tithes to help everywhere. Now, you might say, well, okay, that all goes and it gets spread out, and so very little of our money actually goes to any one place. So, you know, how can we actually be helping? That's what cooperative is all about. We'll see that in a second. But if you're wondering, well, then what could we do if we were just doing it ourselves? If we didn't participate in the cooperative program, well, we could take that 10%, which ends up being, hopefully, at the end of the year, somewhere around $26,000. What could we do with $26,000? I don't know. We could not support even one missionary for $26,000. But because we participated in the cooperative program, we have a part in supporting close to 10,000 missionaries across the world and the United States. That's what Bethel can do together. Let's move on to the next slide. You'll see this is a package of slides put together by the executive committee of our convention. It all starts, cooperative program does, with your gift, comprised of your tithe, hopefully. You are tithing 10% of your salary going through our church. The offerings and also extra offerings that you give above your tithe, given to the Lord through the local church. This begins the process of putting love into action. Next slide. Then our church utilizes the greatest portion of the gifts right here for the different things that we do. And as I said, we send 10% on. Where does it go? It goes first to the state convention, the Illinois Baptist State Convention. The next stop, as your church commits part of its gift to the cooperative program, the state convention uses a portion of your gift to put love in action through a wide assortment of ministries and missions. Next. This is the split in the state of Illinois. As you can see, Illinois keeps 56.5% of what all goes of our 10% to them, and 43.5% goes on to national causes. Next slide. The national causes, the budget, includes World Mission Ministries, which is both our International Mission Board, almost 50.5% goes to that. The North American Mission Board, which covers Canada and the United States and the territories, 22.79% of that money goes there. Did you know that you as a church support 6 different theological seminaries, of which 4 are the largest in the world? All right. Well, that's great. But do you know how much that would cost each person who was going to the seminary if it wasn't for the cooperative program? It cuts their costs by at least a third because of the support that goes to those theological seminaries. Then only just less than 3% goes to the executive committee and the operating budget. And then just a little bit over 1.5% goes to the Christian Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission or ministries. And they speak for us to power in Washington and speak on our behalf across the churches on ethic and issues related to church and state. That's where the money goes. Because we do this together, all of that comes together and works. But that's not all we do. So, go ahead and pop through these. I've already kind of identified through most of these. North American Mission Board, International Mission Board, and goes to a waiting world. Now, the next slide talks about what's next. What else do we do? Well, we give 10% to the cooperative program. It goes to all of those things. But then our church also sets aside 4%, additional 4% of our resources to go regionally to our Samaria, our Judea. That 4% goes to Three Rivers Baptist Association to support the work of our association in starting new churches. Do you realize that our association touches 7 different counties? It doesn't include Chicago, Cook, the city, but an awful lot of suburban Cook, Will, Kendall, Kankakee. Do you know how many churches we need in order to reach 12 million people? So we give 4% of our budget to help in accomplishing that. And then locally, just through our own giving here, through our own budget, we have things like our benevolence ministries, our Act 1-8 funds, ways in which we continue to give and support in different ministries in different ways across this area. We help everywhere when we give. These are words. Words are good. Maybe it will help if you think in terms of what does that really look like when I give. So let me ask you, when the plate comes by on Sunday morning, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about when you put that offering envelope in the plate? Maybe this video will help, and then Harlan's going to come and share our missionary moment, and we'll be prepared for our invitation. And the invitation today will be the offering. It will be an invitation for you to give as the Lord leads you to participate in all that God is doing through us. Let's watch the video. pressures come. Give today. Make it your response to God's prompting to you to help. In fact, every week, as one of our deacons presents this missionary moment that Harlan, like Harlan, is going to remind us of and give us today, let it be a reminder to you that Bethel is helping everywhere. So as Harlan comes to remind us of the personal nature of our giving, the ushers give you an opportunity to worship through your giving. Be in prayer. God will truly use it for His kingdom's work.
John Gerwig ministers in